Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Yes, hello, welcome along to Sports Day. You can join us on the Harcourts open line. 13 13 32 is the number if you've got something to throw up to discuss, or you've got something you'd like to get off your chest. For all things real estate, speak to them. If you want to talk to Richo, give us a call. And before we welcome the great man, Scoop McClure is with us. And the big news of the day, Scoop, everybody is going north.
That's right, Jared. Good evening to you. Yeah, Gillon McLachlan was up until the wee hours of this morning working this out with the state governments. It was announced to the CEOs in a video hookup with himself on Wednesday morning that 8 of the 10 Victorian clubs would go straight to Queensland and be based there for the rest of the premiership season, at least home and away. And the remaining two being Collingwood and Geelong, who will play each other tomorrow night in Western Australia, will then go to Queensland after they're being based in Perth. Carlton and Hawthorn will tag team and go there, yep, play each other, play the two Western Australian teams and back to Queensland. So rounds 7 and 8 to stay the same, rounds 9 to 17 to be condensed, and looking increasingly unlikely that we're going to have any football, Jared, including finals, in Victoria in 2020.
Yes, it's been an amazing turn, hasn't it, since the unfortunate spike that we've had,
yep,
since we had the major security guard failure. But I think they've been agile, as they said they were going to be, and it's amazing that they've kept the thing on the road.
And the other thing about this, and I know everyone's been laughing about, you know, Victoria has been the failed state in this COVID crisis, but given there have been a few numbers in New South Wales, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Queensland, I think Anastasia Palaszczuk flagged this today,
yep,
may close the borders to New South Wales,
yep,
in which case both the Giants and the Swans would have to do a Melbourne Storm, get out early and base themselves in Queensland as well.
Yeah, and I think the NRL are already anticipating that, suggesting that the four teams based in Queensland may have to move to, yep, New South Wales, unless they get an exemption for the players that go from hotspots in New South Wales up to Queensland. So there's a fair bit on the go in Australian sport. And for his thoughts, before Ollie Wines joins us off the top, Justin Longmuir, Fremantle coach, is also going to join us. But let's welcome this bloke. Here's one of the great songs in footy. Richo, welcome to you.
Good to be here, boys, and another interesting day in footy.
How would you feel, Richo? Do you reckon you'd be able to cope if they rang up and said you're going to Queensland for 12 weeks?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a one in, all in now. There might be a few individuals that can't go. We know that. And there may even be a couple of players that may have to leave at some stage and come back to Victoria. And I think that means they can't then re-enter. So that's, yep, a big decision to make if that does happen. But no, I think you're in. You're in. You get in there and give it your best crack. And I think that's what the players are doing. And I think they're doing a pretty good job.
One of those examples you talk about, Rich, two of them, Jared, Jake Carlisle and Jaron Geary at the Saints,
yep,
both have partners due in the next 10 weeks.
Okay.
And the Saints are currently looking into options of flying them both up, finding obstetricians in Queensland, yep, and them actually having their kids in Queensland so they can be together in the hubs. I mean, Geary,
that is an extraordinary situation.
Geary and Carlisle are so desperate to play, yeah, finals footy.
Yep.
And if they went home, like, Richard's right, it'd be very, yeah, hard for them to get back. So everyone's just making it up as they go.
So, Scoop, it's 100 people per team are,
yep,
allowed.
So each club can have 100 in their hub, and that's inclusive, yeah, of everyone.
Yeah.
And the AFL pays for that, and you can go over the 100. It's a bit like the soft cap, Jared. You can go over the 100.
Yeah, you pay for it.
You subsidise 50%, yeah, of each person over.
What about if one of the 100 is one of the expected mothers and all of a sudden you've got 101? Do you have to drop in more?
I think they might make a special rule for that.
That is an extraordinary story, Scoop. That's really creative and really, I think, generous of the wives if they're prepared to be involved like that. That's fantastic.
And that's both the players driving that, yeah, as well. It hasn't come from the club saying, you know, would you consider? I mean, the players, and it's, it'd be tough for Geary, wouldn't it, as well, Richard, being, yeah, the captain?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it'd be really hard for him. His wife's due, but he's the captain. He doesn't want to leave. He wants to set an example. So a very understanding wife there, I'd say, Stu.
Yeah, and the hard thing with it, Jared, is, you know, I think a lot of people will say, oh, that's fine. Just bring the families up. They'll be okay.
Yeah.
That's it, 14 days in hard quarantine.
Yep.
And then once they get out of quarantine and join their husbands and partners, they can't go anywhere. They have to treat themselves as an AFL footballer. Mm. So, you know, you can't just go to the beach and hang around with everyone and come back. It's going to be a challenging time.
So that's why they're going to be treating it on each individual basis. It's not just going to be, hey, all in, come up and have a holiday, because it's definitely not a holiday. I'll give you the tip.
And, Jared, we talk about cost. I mean,
millions. It's costing the AFL millions by the week.
My information today is that it's upwards of $3 million a week that it's costing the
AFL. Yeah, that's the number I've been told. Now, they get, on the money,
that,
as always.
They get more than that per week back in TV money.
Yeah.
But they would usually be pocketing that, profiting it, and putting it into other parts of the game.
Okay, that's the news about why the game and how the game is going to go ahead. Let's talk about the game itself, though, Richo. We had, on Sunday, Game 8 was a stinker, and Game 9 was an absolute beauty. Same rules, same weather conditions. So don't tell me that the game is stuffed because of rule changes.
Sounds like an industry superfund.
It's coaching tactics that are the biggest effect on the game, and we saw that in full effect Sunday afternoon. We did the game on 3RW Footy, Richmond and Sydney, and it was hard. It was really hard to commentate that game, and I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, geez, what's going on? And then I get home and turn on the TV and watch the other game, Carlton and West Coast, and by the end of the game, I'm almost jumping up out of my seat. It was a ripping game. So footy's not stuffed.
No, it was at 6 o'clock and it was revived at 8 o'clock.
That sums up the year, though, doesn't it?
Oh,
really?
Absolutely. I was singing the blues song. I reckon half of Queensland were going up and down the main drag of Surfers Paradise singing the good old Navy blues song.
But just kick the footy and kick it forward, get it forward. I think they've got their kick-to-handball numbers perfect, the blues.
One team that's been doing that, it's no wonder why they're top of the ladder, is the Port Adelaide Footy Club, and one of their stars, Ollie Wines, has been good enough to join us. Ollie, welcome. It must be nice up at the top of the ladder.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Yeah, no, it is nice. We've been able to do some things right to this point of the year, and we're going to look to continue them on.
Well, we're enjoying the way you're playing, Ollie. As you would have heard us discussing, there has been a couple of low points as far as the spectacle of the game is concerned. You haven't been involved in one of these games, but you've been involved in a couple of absolute rippers, including the game against Brisbane the week before.
Yeah, for sure. We pride ourselves on being a team that plays with flair and sort of makes things up as we go, and that sort of leans towards scoring a bit more. So we have been able to score a few more, and we've probably come up against opponents at this stage who have really good attacks. So the games we've been involved in are quite high scoring. A few of them have been probably really good defensively for us. We've kept the opponent not too many goals. So, we're going along all right.
Ollie, you say that, quite high scoring and attacking, but gee, you're playing a finals type brand of footy. You spend most of your time in your forward half and your contested footy is really strong as well. You must be feeling confident as a group moving forward in this season, particularly now you get to go home after 6 weeks in the hub.
Oh, definitely. You summed up our style of play really well there. We pride ourselves on being a front-of-half team, keeping the ball, if not inside our forward 50, inside our forward half, which creates a lot of pressure on the opponent's defence and leads to a lot of scores. So our pressure at stoppage and around contested situations is giving our defenders a really good look at the ball to intercept. And then we've got a lot of creative guys throughout the midfield and forward line who can sort of take it inside 50.
You must love kicking it towards Charlie Dixon. I know he only kicked one on the weekend. You had nine individual goal kickers, but he's just a presence, isn't he, down there now? Whenever he's near the footy, you just feel like something's going to happen as a group.
Yeah, certainly. He's in tremendous form at the moment. And probably the one thing he also does, if he's not marking it, he's got the ability to draw two or three defenders to him, which lets other guys like Todd Marshall or Justin Westhoff, who are 200-centimetre forward, lets them jump at a ball, usually one-on-one with a defender undersized. So if he's not kicking the goals, he's sort of creating chances with just the attraction that he draws.
Ollie, how would you view your own form in the last few weeks?
I've been a bit up and down. I haven't played too much football over the last 12 months. Had a number of shoulder surgeries, which has sort of held me back. But looking at all the things that we strive ourselves on as a team in our pressure and hustle around the ball, I think I'm doing well. I think that it's sort of a new style of play that the whole AFL is getting used to at the moment, a bit less around contested and stoppage situations. So still coming to terms with that a little bit, but building into the season.
Hey, Ollie, we've just been talking about all the Victorian teams now being based in Queensland, in the hubs for the rest of the season, it looks like. What did you find the biggest challenges to be in the hub?
Yeah, look, we had a really good experience as a team up there. I think the biggest thing to start with is making sure you win up there. winning creates the mood, I guess, for your footy club around the hub for the week. And we were able to win all our games except the last one, which we were flying out the next day anyway, so it didn't have a big impact. Apart from that, look, it is a challenge. I think most of Queensland teams, from my understanding, are actually having to do their 2 weeks quarantine at the resort, which is a different kettle of fish to us. We had the ability to leave in the first 2 weeks, so that will be tough. But look, I think the players are more than equipped to be able to survive up there. They've got everything the AFL supplied them with to make their lives more comfortable, and it's a sacrifice, I guess, the playing group is going to have to make to keep this season going.
Tom Rockliffe is a pretty high-profile recruit. Was not brilliant in his first year, better last year, but he's been dropped early in the piece. That must have been a pretty difficult pill for him to swallow.
Yeah, certainly. We know the player of Rock's calibre was a really big highlight getting into the club, and we've got utmost confidence in what Rock can do for our team, and he knows what he's got to work on, and we've got no doubt he'll get back into the team. Look, we've got obviously a different situation than normal years this year with no reserves footy and yep. People trying to get games without playing reserves. So he's so willing to do what he needs, and we've got no doubt he'll be back in the team soon.
Would you support an increase in interchange under the current system where everybody's having a reasonably normal break between games, and would you like to see one if it was shortened to a 4 or 5 day break?
Oh, I'm not too fussed at the moment. I think the AFL's made the change of the smaller quarters to take into account maybe cramming more games in.
Yep.
The feedback from our playing group, I think we speak about it a bit. The games do feel really short. It is only, I guess, 4 minutes of time each quarter that we're missing out on, but you do notice the games are shorter and you're probably not as fatigued and sore after games. So whether it is necessary to increase interchange or whatever they're thinking, I think personally they've got it right at this stage. And if we are having to cram extra games in short amount of time, I think it can survive.
Just from a physiological perspective, I'm not sure there's a real line through why we've had a few hamstring injuries, because some are in the early parts of the game, some are mid-game, some are at the end of the game. And if you shorten the games as we've done and then you add in extra interchange, you're just allowing people to be so much more ballistic. So you may end up doing the damage because you're running faster for longer.
Yeah, you stumped me there. Might have to talk to one of our sports science guys, but yeah, fair point. I think with the decreased game time, it does increase the intensity. And
have you noticed that?
There are a couple of big KPIs.
Have you noticed the increased intensity? Like, we're getting a lot of syndesmosis issues, and for mine, that's because of the intensity they're tackling.
Yeah, for sure. One of our big KPIs is a certain amount of distance in a certain speed band of running, and we're still maintaining that despite sort of having decreased quarter time. So I think not being out there for so long creates a better environment to get high speed running. So I think that may be a reason leading towards it.
We're going to see you go head to head with Paddy Cripps this weekend?
Yeah, possibly. Look, I dare say I'll be on him at one stage. We like to have sort of a team mentality as a midfield group. If we come up against an opponent as classy as Paddy Cripps, we sort of like to go at as a team. So whoever gets him at one particular stoppage may have the job for a couple of stoppages, and then it swaps over. I think we've got a lot of confidence in each other to get anyone done, whoever it is. So I'm sure it'll be a team job.
You've sung the song more than anybody this year, Ollie, not you personally, but your club. When we get through this COVID-19 drama that we're having at the present time, and you've got the capacity to go back to singing a song with your arms around each other, do you think you'll do that, or do you think that the clapping has become so successful and so popular that you might just maintain the COVID-19 style?
I don't mind what we're doing at the moment. Yeah, I'm loving the clapping. And yep. We've even got some guys who talk themselves up as dancers and say they're going to get in and start yep. dancing in the middle.
I'd like to see that.
once we see that, that'll be pretty impressive. But yeah, no, I'm loving the clucking at the moment.
Yeah, what about Kenny? He didn't have many dance moves in the middle on Sunday.
Nah, he didn't have many at all, but he was very excited to win that game, the one that got him the AFL Life membership. So yeah, it was good to get him in the middle and see that emotion.
Ollie, thanks for coming on. Good luck against the Blues and good luck against Cripps.
No worries, guys. A pleasure.
Ollie Wines there. Kia offering value you can trust in Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Fremantle coach Justin Longmuir is going to join us after this, Jared.
13-13-32 is the number. Give us a thoughts. Would you like to see the players drop the clapping, or do you like to see the clapping as they're doing at the present time? If you had your choice, Richo, clap or no clap?
Nah, traditional for me.
While we think about that, Jared's going to answer a call from the UK, of all places.
Pontypool, Wales, United Kingdom. Do you reckon that could be a scam call?
Don't answer it.
I think it may be.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. And Kia, Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Lots going on in the world of AFL football at the moment, as we've talked about off the top. But we still should, Jared and Richo, celebrate a debutant when one comes up. And Ned Cahill, first-year forward at the Bombers. He's going to make his debut on Friday night against the Dogs. He kicked 5 in a scratchy against North Melbourne last week.
Small forward
from Mount Eliza way, I believe. Richo, you still remember the debut?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll never forget that. Round 7, 93.
Round 7, 93,
played
Jared?
On the great Danny Frawley.
Round 1, 1979, against the Dogs, played on Dancing Douglas Hawkins the wing.
Nice. And that's right. We've spoken about this.
Yeah, we did. We spoke to Dougie last
week.
Didn't
he say that
week.
You gave him a touch-up on debut?
Oh, he had a better memory than I did. yeah, indeed.
Was that the G or at the Western Oval?
It was at the G. It's I don't think anybody would ever forget their first game. I remember going to Punt Road, driving up Punt Road and said, well, at least I've played one.
Yeah.
And, you're hoping to play more, but if they don't, you still got one.
Richard had 20 disposals and kicked 1 goal 2 on debut.
I played, Duncan Kellaway played his first game that day as well, and I reckon he had 29 touches on the halfback flank.
We're not far away from hopefully joining Justin Longmuir. They've had a magnificent 2 weeks. The first win was, it was probably expected. But last week, that was a cracking match.
Unbelievable. Who would have thought at quarter time? I had St Kilda mates that were booking grand final tickets. So they fought back well in the hub, didn't they, to win their last two games. And now they've got a little bit of steam up, heading home. Big game, derby, 30,000 people. So Justin would be wrapped, I reckon.
And Justin joins us on the line. Justin, we were just talking about your club and your performance. A couple of big wins, but in reality, in the 4 losses you've had, you've been pretty impressive along the way. So you must have been thrilled to get the monkey off the back, but last week that was absolutely magnificent. Thanks for your time tonight.
No worries. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, you're right. We played some good footy, but we also played some pretty ordinary footy. And really, it was just probably one quarter in those losses, and it was still there last week, clearly, that first quarter. But it was probably just one quarter that was letting us down. The Gold Coast game, we coughed up 5 goals in that second quarter, and that was the same as the Port Adelaide game. So, yeah, we were shooting ourselves in the foot in one quarter, but playing some pretty good footy in the other quarter. So I think there was always a lot of belief within the group that, we put it all together, we could get a win. So, it was good for the players and all the staff, really, just to get that reward for effort in those last 2 games.
And good for the coach, no doubt.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, staring down the barrel of 0-4 is not ideal. It was good to get a win. Good to get the win column going. So, we're looking for 3 in a row this week. So we're going to have to play 4 quarters to be able to get over West Coast. But as I mentioned before, there's a lot of belief in the group. So we're tracking okay.
The big question coming up this week will be Nat Fyfe's hamstring. I heard him talk yesterday. He said he's a little bit sore, but thinks that he'll play. Are you confident that he will?
No, not overly confident at the moment. It was the first time we got running yesterday. We got moving after the game was yesterday, and he did pull up a little bit sore in that hamstring. So I think he was going off to get it scanned today, and we'll await for that scan result. It's got to be in some sort of doubt, given that he's still feeling it 3 days after the game. So we'll see how he gets through training tomorrow if he trains and we'll go from there. But, yeah, there has to be some doubt around his hammy at the moment.
Justin, there's a bit of conversation about Nat going out and surfing during the week. I think he was doing a promotional video, actually, with Mick Fanning. So not sure if he actually even surfed or not. Can you give us any clarity on that and if you're comfortable as coach with it?
Well, I had to do some AFL media up there as well. I definitely wasn't surfing. It's not my go, but he had that plan for a while, and it just happened to fall on a 6-day break. And I'm not sure how much surfing he did, but he had to do it for the AFL, and I think the Queensland government, and he's always obliges when he gets asked to do stuff. So I don't know whether it was a contributing factor or not.
Ideal circumstances, Justin, would you have preferred him not to have surfed?
He surfs every week. So from my point of view, last week the doctors and the medical team cleared him to train, full train, and cleared him to train all week. So from my point of view, he was fit to play. So whatever he usually does during the week when he's fit to play, I'm happy with whatever he chooses to do. So I know surfing's a big part of a lot of our players' weekly preparation and relaxation and whatever they do out there on the water. So, yeah, I was happy with him surfing.
Sean Darcy is the other issue that needs addressing. He got the big whack concussed. Is he playing or is he available to play?
At this stage, he is, yeah. He's pulled up really well. Given we've got an 8-day break, that's going to give him even more time. So he's going to have to get through training and get the all clear after training. But every indication is that he's tracking well. So it'd be nice to have him back and nice to have him out there playing four quarters. I actually thought he was probably our best player up until he got hurt. Mm. He's starting to show some really good signs. So really need to get some continuity in his game because he's got a lot of talent and he's just getting to the right age now and the right experience to really start showing it week in, week out.
Justin, you must be obviously looking forward to the Derby this week. You're back at home, Optus Stadium. 30,000 people, and this will be the first game you've actually coached home and away in Perth, your home state.
Yeah, it's been a unique season, for a lot of people. But as you said, this is the first time we get to play in front of our home crowd and at our home ground. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's a great stadium. I've been there when I was with Collingwood as the away team, and it's a really hostile environment, so it'll be good to be on the home team this time, and can't wait for Sunday.
How's sitting in the coach's chair, Justin? A lot of people aspire to be a coach, and you start with four losses in a row. How does the job feel now that you've actually got it compared to what you thought it might be?
I'm loving it. I love the build up to the games. I'm really fascinated with the mental side of the game, and I think preparation is the absolute key to performance. So I'm really, really interested in making sure that I can prepare the players as best I can. I have felt helpless at times on game day, especially in those critical moments where you're in the box and you just need to let the players do their thing and there's not much you can do about it. So I have found myself getting a little bit frustrated, a little bit excited, and I've let the emotions go a little bit more than I actually thought. Mm. And funny, my wife mentioned to me the other day, I thought you'd be a lot less emotional in the box than you are. I just find it, helpless at times, but really enjoying, I really enjoy game day. It's just sometimes those little moments happen in the box where you feel helpless and you can't do anything else but let your frustration or your joy shine through. So,
how were you feeling when Sonny Walters gave away that 50-metre penalty?
Probably not as upset as I was when he kicked it the wrong way.
Had an interesting day, didn't he?
Good answer.
The game couldn't have unfolded any worse at the start with your best player kicking it the wrong way. So, the one thing I know about Sonny is he's just so competitive, and he loves the club, and I just knew he would try and make up for it the best he could, and there's no doubt that was the reason why he was involved in the match winning play, and I'm glad the ball ended up in his hands because not many players under that pressure would have been able to see the loose players we had on that wing, so he well and truly made up for it.
Hey, Justin, just a quick one. The whole interchange thing has been in the news again over the weekend with the game and congestion. A lot of people say bring the interchange right back down to even 10 or 20. I saw Kevin Bartlett suggest. Do you think that would ease congestion, or do you think it'll make it worse?
To be honest, I probably think it would make it worse, purely because I think, you know, coaches just want to give their teams the best chances of winning. And if there was less rotations and teams started getting tired and an opposition got a run on, I think there'd be a fair flood getting back into the team with momentum's back line, and it would congest it even more. So I'm happy just with the game the way it is at the moment, let it unfold. I mean, it's just such a unique season that we're not going to get everything right on the field this year, but just leave the game alone and let it settle down and let the players adjust to the conditions that we've got at the moment, because I think you'll find that they'll always adjust.
Justin.
Justin,
appreciate your time. Let's hope for the Dockers' sake you make it three in a row on the weekend in the Derby. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Justin Longmuir there. For Drinkwise, we're all a little stressed and anxious at the moment, but remember, if drinking, please do so in moderation. Now, Justin Longmuir, for what it's worth, his debut, round 22 of 99, only had the two kicks, but kicked a goal on debut. So ended up 139 games for the Fremantle Dockers. The teams are in for tomorrow night. Interesting changes for both the Cats and the Pies.
Okay, I reckon there will be a few nervous lads.
Degoe and Dacos are both back in. Dacos missed with that ankle, so they're two sort of expected ins. Cox stays in. Sharenberg's out with ribs, and Kelly's out with that elbow, obviously. Geelong, two force changes. Duncan and Narkle, neither of them get up with that hamstring. In come Jack Stephen and Jordan Clark. Good to see Jordan Clark back in.
Yep, absolutely. He's a ripper.
Are you surprised, Richo, just quickly, that they stuck with Cox? It is going to be wet there tomorrow night.
Well, it'll be a late change if they make a change.
True.
Yeah, I think if it's pouring with rain and looks like it's going to continue, you might see a late change.
Have you got the emerges there?
It's going to be a heap of rain, isn't there?
If you give me 10 seconds. Yeah, it is. It's going to be massive. The emergency itself
Have you seen the low that's sitting off New South Wales at the moment?
Yeah.
For the Pies, Cameron, Thomas, Noble and Madgen. So Josh Thomas would be the likely if they wanted to play small. And for the Cats, Fogarty, Constable, Zach Guthrie and Evans.
Okie doke. It's now time for news headlines with the Golden Tonsils, Tony Tardio. It's all for Urban Alley, Australian made. It's Australians' favourite hand sanitiser, and it's available now at urbanalley.com.au. Tony?
Welcome back to Sports A. Matthew Richardson is here for Macca's. Macca's drive-through, fast, safe and contact-free. And by the way, our caller of the week, Harcourt's Open Lines Open, 13, 13, 32, scores 18 holes of golf for two plus a complimentary drink thanks to Club Mandalay, the must-play course in Melbourne's North. It is beautiful out there.
Can you still play golf?
Absolutely.
You can.
Absolutely.
Today you can.
Well, couldn't last time. You can this time.
We've made some special arrangements to make sure that we can. It is now time for the world-famous Yes No Richard. It's all for the new Furphy Crisp Lager. It is unbelievable. You usually get a sense in the break before Yes No what it's going to be like. And I think this is going to be a controversial edition. Jared?
No Furphies here, Richo. The Swans should completely cotton wool Buddy Franklin for a fresh start in 2021. Yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, is he ever going to play again? Collingwood cannot play Mason Cox tomorrow night if, as expected, the big rains arrive out west against the Cats, yes or no?
Yes.
Brisbane cannot be considered serious premiership contenders until they learn to deliver outside of Brisbane.
Yes.
When's that going to happen?
Not sure you need to. They may never have to play again outside of Brisbane.
They'll have to go to Metricon. They'll have to drive an hour.
As per the comments of Hardwick and Buckley, the AFL should extend the interchange benches to accommodate for games on a 4 to 5 day turnaround. Yes or no?
No.
The 2 week ban for Dylan Scheel was the right outcome?
Yes.
Stephen Cornelio needs to find some form or will be dropped in the next week or so. Yes or no?
No.
Adelaide will not win a game this season.
No.
Another game or two like his three-goal debut on Saturday night and Isaac Rankin becomes the rising star favourite for 2020. Yes or no?
Yes.
Sydney will not win another game this season.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
The big outs.
The Gabba is now favourite to host the grand final. Yes or no?
No.
The red shirts, your favourite men and women on the street, appear to have had their numbers cut. Yes or no?
Yes.
Revenue raising for our massive deficit has already begun. with an overzealous parking officers going to work. Yes, I know, Richo.
They're back. Yes.
Given the chairman has shut the ski season, he should not be seen again in his much preferred North Face ski jacket.
Gee.
They're expensive, North Face.
This is political.
Yes.
Given Brett Ratton said heads would roll, Brad Hill will be nervous this week, yes or no?
No.
Josh Shackey needs a spell on the twos, yes or no?
Yes.
Ed Richards should also be nervous before selection.
No.
Cats are a better team in 2020 than you thought.
Yes.
Carlton played the best brand of footy for the year last Sunday, yes or no?
Yes.
You should never, ever, ever listen to Scoop's Carlton selection inside mail, yes or no?
Yes.
Scoop thinks the Blues will get ahead of themselves and get pumped by the Dogs. Yes or no?
Well, they've already played the Dogs and they beat them.
Sorry, Jared, get pumped by the Blues.
Can you not misquote me, please?
Well, okay, I won't. Scoop thinks the Blues will get ahead of themselves and get absolutely pumped by Port Adelaide on the weekend. Yes or no?
Yes.
Might even get beaten by Port. Melbourne. Melbourne will beat the Demons this week. Yes.
Melbourne. The Hawks.
Geez, I'm going well. Melbourne will beat the Hawks this week.
Melbourne will beat the Demons.
Yes, I think they will.
I think you might be right, Bricho.
Yes.
And then the Hawthorn discussion will be on again.
Okay, let's get your tips, Richo. I think you tipped pretty well last week. Cats and Pies.
Hard to tip against the Cats after how they played. I'm going to go Cats.
Essendon Bulldogs.
I'm going to tip the Dogs to bounce back.
Giants Lions.
Giants.
Sydney Gold Coast.
Gold Coast.
Richmond North.
Richmond.
Carlton Port Adelaide, the Gabba.
Port.
Hawthorn Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Fremantle West Coast.
West Coast.
Adelaide St Kilda.
Danger game, I reckon. It's at the Adelaide Oval. St Kilda.
You see? I told you.
But he came around to St Kilda.
The thing on Adelaide.
I think Adelaide will win
the first game. Will they win a game this year? History says, I think the last team was 1960 or 61 that didn't win a game, Fitzroy. History says they will win a game. And I think this week may be a little danger.
I'm interested in your thoughts about the Giants. Where do you see them getting across the Brisbane Lions? Because they are just going at the moment.
I think Canelio will play well this week. And if they get over 40 inside 50s, they win. They just don't get it inside 50 enough with the forward line they have.
Good on you, Richo. Appreciate you coming
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate Richo there for Furphy Crisp Lager, born in Geelong. Enjoyed all over. It is unbelievable. This is Sports Day for Red Energy.
An odds update for Ladbrokes. Back yourself with Ladbrokes. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Well, welcome back to Sports. It's very rare, Jared, that the best of the best is given the flick just for a week. But the Rain Man, his tips have been a little bit off the last few.
He's been rotated.
That's right. There's just a small rotation. And, we've heard a lot about the up-and-coming Dylan Leach, and he joins us for a Ladbrokes odds update, Jared.
Let's find out if you're any good, Leachy. You got 1 week to prove yourself. Welcome to the program.
Oh, no pressure at all, but I'm quietly confident I can deliver something. But this is a very hard year to tip.
No, don't start making excuses. He's
already giving himself an out.
Pies and Cats is a big one tomorrow night. Are you going to go with everybody else and tip the Pies, or are you going to go out on a limb?
Look, I am someone who has a firm belief that you always tip Geelong at home. Now, granted, home is Optus Stadium tomorrow, but all the home teams won last week, and the Cats were super impressive in that second half, and that is. They are solid value at $2.15 as the underdog to get the job done. Along with that, we're actually offering Tom Hawkins to score a first half goal at $2.25. He kicked three last week. I reckon we can expect something from Tom Hawkins in the early part of the game to deliver for the punters.
Boys and power.
Find us some value, Leachy.
All right. Well, Blues and Power, there might be some value in this one. Mm. Port Adelaide go in the clear favourite, top of the ladder, $1.44. But Carlton were mighty impressive last week. The radical tactic of kicking lots of goals, which is rare in the AFL.
Revolutionary.
That's better.
Revolutionary tactic of kicking goals. $2.95 head-to-head. I do like Carlton at the line. The line set 15.5 in favour of Port Adelaide. I reckon Carlton can cover it. And we're offering $2 lines for this weekend.
I agree. This one, right. No one will watch this game. There's no way known anyone will watch this game because you've got two sides of key forwards in the forward line. That just won't rate.
I agree with Leachy saying value in the game.
Absolutely.
Port Adelaide, $1.45 look great value. The Coleman Metal Market?
It's good news if your name is Cameron or Charlie, but it's not necessarily the one person. Charlie Dixon, $6. Charlie Cameron, $7. Jeremy Cameron, $7. Tom Leach from Richmond, still the favourite at $6. Provided Richmond can kick more than four goals for the entire match, he might be a chance. And there's probably a little smoky in Brody Meyercheck, $10 to take out the Coleman.
Nice work. A good debut from you, Dylan. We'll find out next week whether your tips and advice have been worthwhile listening to. We'll call you. Thanks for your company.
And of course, thanks, guys. And of course, if you are having a bet on the footy this weekend, always remember to gamble responsibly.
Good on you, Leachy. Ladbrokes Switch is the power to pick your promo. Back yourself. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858. How did your ratings debut?
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
Okay, I think we'll be going back to the Rain Man next week.
Now let's get a Racing Queensland update. Race at your place, racingqueensland.com.au.
Not more from Queensland,
Jared. We just continue to go to Queensland. There's nothing happening, Scoop, in Melbourne outside of the magnificent winters. Have we ever had better weather in winter?
That's unbelievable.
It's not great surf conditions, I've got to say, which is not a problem because you can't go surfing just at the moment.
Getting the minibus and just driving up, are they going to let us into Queensland as well?
You can discuss that with the powers that be. Joining us, as always, though, from sunny Queensland, is our racing expert, Chris. Another couple of big race meets over the weekend.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Sam. And, yeah, well, nice to be on from the home of the AFL up here in Queensland.
Yeah, it's been relabeled the QFL, I should say. And it's going to go head-to-head with a couple of very exciting race meets you've got coming up, starting at Rockhampton on Friday.
Yeah, we've got the Rockhampton Cup on Friday. We've got the Rockhampton Newmarket on Friday and the Magic Millions three-year-old Guineas also at Rockhampton on Friday. And then we shift to Ipswich on Saturday, which is usually a massive social day at Ipswich, but they're only allowed 1,500 people in this year, and that's for the Ipswich Eyeliner and the Gay Waterhouse Classic. No Ipswich Cup this year, unfortunately.
I haven't been to Rockhampton since I was about 14, went up with Mum and Dad in the caravan. How's that developed over the last 30-odd years?
It's a bustling city now, and there's a beautiful racetrack there too, a big long straight of 600 metres long, but I'm sure that when all this passes, Jared, and you're looking for a trip away, Rockhampton is a good place for you to go and see how much it's developed in time.
There's a big plunging low, sitting smack bang off the middle of the east coast of Australia. Big swell's been rolling in there and only going to get bigger over the next day or so. How's that impacting on the weather?
Not at all. It's impacting New South Wales, but we've got mid-20s temperatures coming up right through the next 5 or 6 days. So no issues here. We'll have beautiful weather at Rocky.
Chris Nelson there. All thanks to Sky Racing and TAB. Race at your place. Visit racingqueensland.com.au. As always, gamble responsibly. It's becoming the Queensland Hour, Jared. More and more we talk about it.
Indeed, Scoop, we're going to have to get a weather report. There's, as I said, plenty of swell hitting Queensland, and they've got the sun, as against New South Wales, are getting bucketed down with rain.
I can just see you filling up the Navara.
Oh, yeah.
And the surfboard.
The Colorado.
Sorry, the Colorado.
Sorry, Nick.
The Queensland police will see you coming from 100
from
a
miles away. You're not even allowed to cross our border, let alone their
good
border.
Point.
That's it tonight, folks. Speak to you again tomorrow night.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
You are listening to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Remember, you can join us anytime on Sports Day's Harcourt's open line 13 13 13. Well, I'll start that again. 13 13 32. Jared, I almost threw another 13 in there. If you're just joining us, big hour coming up, and news around the AFL, of course, is that 10 Victorian teams, plus even maybe the two New South Wales teams, need to relocate and finish the rest of the home and away season in Queensland, Jared. Unprecedented, to use a word that is never used times.
Yes, it's been used as many times as some others have been misused, Scoop. But what we have got right now is we've got an AFL and an AFL Players Association who seem to be in sync. And I think that's the good thing, because they are going to have to be in sync if this thing is going to get completed. And there's a no-win situation for it not getting done. There's no winners if we stop. All we got is losers.
You know, it made me think on the way in today, Jared, when I was driving, that you and I and Lee Matthews had that big chat however many weeks ago it was about the AFL saying to the Players Association, yep, you might need to be in a hub for 20 weeks.
Yep.
We had Chris Scott on, and he was learning for the first time, well, 20 weeks is not going to work. You know, there was a big hullabaloo between, yep, the AFL and the Players Association. Well, some teams have been away for 4 weeks.
Yeah, well,
so it's going to end up being 14. It's not that far off.
No, I think Lee thought it was actually part of a negotiation that you give them the worst-case scenario and then everything else sounds fantastic.
Right.
And in reality, now that we see it, no one actually knew anything. I mean, no one knew how bad this could be, and then all of a sudden we got quite ahead of ourselves, if you like, given how successful we were.
Yep.
And I'm talking about everybody, including the government. You know, they got ahead of themselves and were too totally lax, obviously, with the security situations. And now we're all back to not just square one. We are back way, way, way beyond square one. I mean, you go back to round one and the paranoia that was going on about whether or not we should play. People, you know, people in the sports industry actively barracking for shutting down the shop. And we're in five times as bad a condition now than we were back then.
Right.
You look at the number of cases.
Yep.
We had bugger all cases back then when we were talking about shutting it down.
The virus wasn't the threat that it is now.
The virus was nothing like a threat. It was, you know, it was a threat over in Europe, and it was a threat in China, clearly.
In the US,
but it was
yeah.
only a threat. Right now, it's on our doorstep, and it's in households in Victoria. And unfortunately, we've let it in.
It's quite right, Jared. I actually hadn't thought of it like that. You're right that so many people were talking.
I mean, reality, if you look back, we should have kept playing. Based on what we're doing now,
yep.
this is a much more difficult situation that we're facing than way back when. So we sort of succumbed to the political correctness and the advice from the health people. But ultimately now, it will prove to be a mistake to have not continued on. As Peter Vlandy's actually said openly only a couple of months ago.
And you don't hear now, Jared, many people saying that we shouldn't be playing. Do you?
No,
I mean, everyone is actively barracking to somehow keep this season going.
There's an element of people out there that think the season's not worth having, but they're not saying don't play because of health reasons.
No.
Don't play because it's a bad example to kids. I think we're all grown up a little bit over the last few months, and we know that kids can distinguish between that's the big boys and, you know, we don't want you shaking hands with grandpa or grandma or giving them a hug because we've got this virus. So I think that we were over the top early in the piece, and I said so. It wasn't a popular thing to say, but quite clearly now we're finding a way to deal with it.
And
we're going to have to because
absolutely.
We may be in this exact same situation this time next year. I mean, everyone thinks there's a vaccine on the doorstep. Maybe there is. But if there's not, we're going to have to learn to live with this virus.
The last time you said something like that was January 29, and it's proven to be correct. I hope for everyone else's sake.
Same here.
You're wrong on that. Looking quickly as to who's on the road this week for Dometic. Again, very few sides on the road, obviously, or aren't on the road. The Pies and the Cats, they've made their way to WA. The Pies are at Joondalup.
Golf course.
Yeah, nine-hole golf course that they're not allowed to play in, but they've been playing footy golf, and the Cats...
Joondalup only nine holes.
No, it's got its own beautiful 18-hole course, but where the Pies are, they've been cut off from that.
Right.
So people are actually still playing on the 18 holes, but they can't play on the nine.
Right.
They're playing footy golf.
Yeah, so did Joondalup. It was a beautiful spot.
Yeah, it looks amazing, although it's been raining ever since they got there.
Sports Day did a week from Joondalup many years ago.
It's back in the good old days.
It was.
When reporters like Caro used to take the helicopters of Channel 7 to news stories.
Yes, indeed. No, Joondalup was the focus. We got flown over there for the Heineken Open.
So the Heineken Open, that is a blast from the past. The changes for tomorrow, Jared, Geelong and Collingwood. Jack Stephen and Jordan Clark come in for the hamstrung, Duncan and Narkle. Collingwood bring in Degoe and Dacos, two big ins. Scharenberg out with ribs and Will Kelly out with an elbow. So four forced changes between the two sides. Also, the New South Wales-based Victorian clubs will soon pack their bags and head north as the AFL seeks to stay ahead of the COVID concerns. That was all for Dometic. Enjoy a drink on the rocks on your next outdoor adventure. It's all for the Dometic CFX3 Ice Maker model. Now, before we go to the break for Wilson Holmes, who's a big addition to Yes No Richo, Jared, this week.
Yes, Richo got himself involved in a couple of political issues.
Richo got himself involved, did he? You are the master. This is Sports Day and this is Yes No for Richo. Yes No Richo. It's all for the new Furphy Crisp Lager. It is unbelievable. You usually get a sense in the break before yes, no, what it's going to be like. And I think this is going to be a controversial edition. Jared,
No furfies here, Richo. The Swans should completely cotton wool Buddy Franklin for a fresh start in 2021. Yes or no?
Yes.
Is he ever going to play again? Collingwood cannot play Mason Cox tomorrow night if, as expected, the big rains arrive out west against the Cats. Yes or no?
Yes.
Brisbane cannot be considered serious premiership contenders until they learn to deliver outside of Brisbane.
Yes.
When's that going to happen?
Not sure you need to. They may never have to play
again.
They'll
have to go to Metricon. Have to drive an hour.
As per the comments of Hardwick and Buckley, the AFL should extend the interchange benches to accommodate for games on a 4 to 5 day turnaround. Yes or no?
No.
The 2 week ban for Dylan Scheel was the right outcome?
Yes.
Stephen Cornelio needs to find some form or will be dropped in the next week or so. Yes or no?
No.
Adelaide will not win a game this season.
No.
Another game or two like his 3-goal debut on Saturday night and Isaac Rankin becomes the rising star favourite for 2020. Yes or no?
Yes.
Sydney will not win another game this season.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Like all the big outs.
The Gabba is now favourite to host the grand final. Yes or no?
No.
The red shirts, your favourite men and women on the street, appear to have had their numbers cut. Yes or no?
Yes.
Revenue raising for our massive deficit has already begun with an overzealous parking officers going to work. Yes or no, Richo? Yes.
They're back. Yes.
Given the chairman has shut the ski season, he should not be seen again in his much preferred North Face ski jacket.
Gee.
They're expensive. North Face.
This is political.
Yes.
Given Brett Ratton said heads would roll, Brad Hill will be nervous this week, yes or no?
No.
Josh Shackey needs a spell on the twos, yes or no?
Yes.
Ed Richards should also be nervous before selection.
No.
Cats are a better team in 2020 than you thought.
Yes.
Carlton played the best brand of footy for the year last Sunday, yes or no?
Yes.
You should never, ever, ever listen to Scoop's Carlton selection inside mail, yes or no?
Yes.
You're listening to Sports Day. It's all for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Our Sports Day hot topic for Team Apco. You can win a brand new ute with Team Apco Top Fan. Earlier tonight, we spoke with Port Adelaide midfielder Ollie Wines. Jared, his side sitting top of the table. They're going beautifully, and they've got a clash against the Blues at the Gabba on the weekend.
Yes, he's an interesting chat, Ollie. He's been in okay form. He was BOG probably 3 weeks ago, and he's probably been okay since, not absolutely flying. So I'd be interested to know what his thoughts are on his own form, and I was pleased that you asked him.
Do you expect him to go against Paddy Cripps?
Well, I do, but I think that they've got two or three that will continue to share that workload. Sam Powell-Pepper could do the same thing.
Cripps. Could have gone under the radar a little bit.
Just the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
He's well beaten by Jack Steele. And then obviously he was battling his own shoulder problems on the weekend. But he and Doherty have both had a poor couple of weeks, which makes their form probably look even a bit better.
Bit more organic improvement in the Blues than perhaps others have seen in the last couple of weeks.
Here's our chat with Ollie. Ollie, welcome. It must be nice up at the top of the ladder.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, no, it is nice. We've been able to do some things right to this point of the year, and we're going to look to continue them on.
Well, we're enjoying the way you're playing, Ollie. As you would have heard us discussing, there has been a couple of low points as far as the spectacle of the game is concerned. You haven't been involved in one of these games, but you've been involved as a couple of absolute rippers, including the game against Brisbane the week before.
Yeah, for sure. We pride ourselves on being a team that plays with flair and sort of makes things up as we go, and that sort of leans towards scoring a bit more. So we have been able to score a few more, and we've probably come up against opponents at this stage who have really good attacks. So the games we've been involved in are quite high scoring. A few of them have been probably really good defensively for us. We've kept the opponent not too many goals. So, we're going along all right.
Ollie, you say that, quite high scoring and attacking, but gee, you're playing a finals type brand of footy. You spend most of your time in your forward half and your contested footy is really strong as well. You must be feeling confident as a group moving forward in this season, particularly now you get to go home after 6 weeks in the hub.
Oh, definitely. You summed up our style of play really well there. We pride ourselves on being a front of half team. team, keeping the ball, if not inside our forward 50, inside our forward half, which creates a lot of pressure on the opponent's defence and leads to a lot of scores. So our pressure at stoppage and around contested situations is giving our defenders a really good look at the ball to intercept. And then we've got a lot of creative guys throughout the midfield and forward line who can sort of take it inside 50.
You must love kicking it towards Charlie Dixon. I know he only kicked one on the weekend. You had nine individual goal kickers, but he's just a presence, isn't he, down there now? Whenever he's near the footy, you just feel like something's going to happen as a group.
Yeah, certainly. He's in tremendous form at the moment. And probably the one thing he also does, if he's not marking it, he's got the ability to draw two or three defenders to him, which let other guys like Todd Marshall or Justin Westhoff, who are 200 centimetre forward, lets them jump at a ball, usually one-on-one with a defender undersized. So if he's not kicking the goals, he's sort of creating chances with just the, I guess, the attraction that he draws.
Ollie, how would you view your own form in the last few weeks?
I've been a bit up and down. I haven't played too much football over the last 12 months. Had a number of shoulder surgeries, which has sort of held me back. But looking at all the things that we strive ourselves on as a team in our pressure and hustle around the ball, I think I'm doing well. I think that it's sort of a new style of play that the whole AFL is getting used to at the moment, a bit less around contested and stoppage situations. So still coming to terms with that a little bit, but building into the season.
Hey, Ollie, we've just been talking about all the Victorian teams now being based in Queensland in the hubs for the rest of the season, it looks like. What did you find the biggest challenges to be in the hub?
Yeah, look, we had a really good experience as a team up there. I think the biggest thing to start with is making sure you win up there. Winning creates the mood, I guess, for your footy club around the hub for the week. And we were able to win all our games except the last one, which we were flying out the next day anyway. So it didn't have a big impact. Apart from that, look, it is a challenge. I think most of Queensland teams, from my understanding, are actually having to do their 2 weeks quarantine at the resort, which is a different kettle of fish to us. We had the ability to leave in the first 2 weeks. So that will be tough. But look, I think the players are more than equipped to be able to survive up there. They've got everything the AFL supplied them with to make their lives more comfortable. And it's a sacrifice, I guess, the playing group is going to have to make to keep this season going.
Tom Rockliffe is a pretty high-profile recruit. Was not brilliant in his first year, better last year, but he's been dropped early in the piece. That must have been a pretty difficult pill for him to swallow.
Yeah, certainly. We know the player of Ross Caliber was a really big highlight getting to the club, and we've got utmost confidence in what Rock can do for our team, and he knows what he's got to work on, and we've got no doubt he'll get back into the team. Look, we've got obviously a different situation than normal years this year with no reserves footy and people trying to get games without playing reserves. So he's so willing to do what he needs, and we've got no doubt he'll be back in the team soon.
Would you support an increase in interchange under the current system where everybody's having a reasonably normal break between games? And would you like to see one if it was shortened to a 4 or 5 day break?
Oh, I'm not too fussed at the moment. I think the AFL's made the change of the smaller quarters to take into account maybe cramming more games in.
Yep.
The feedback from our playing group, I think we speak about it a bit. The games do feel really short. It is only, I guess, 4 minutes of time each quarter that we're missing out on, but you do notice the games are shorter and you're probably not as fatigued and sore after games. So whether it is necessary to increase interchange or whatever they're thinking, I think personally that they've got it right at this stage. And if we are having to cram extra games in short amount of time, I think it can survive.
Just from a physiological perspective, I'm not sure there's a real line through why we've had a few hamstring injuries, because some are in the early parts of the game, some are mid-game, some are at the end of the game. And if you shorten the games as we've done and then you add in extra interchange, you're just allowing people to be so much more ballistic. So you may end up doing the damage because you're running faster for longer.
Yeah, you stumped me there. Might have to talk to one of our sports science guys, but yeah, fair point. I think with the decreased game time, it does increase the intensity. And
have you noticed that?
Big KPIs, as in,
have you noticed the increased intensity? Like, we're getting a lot of syndesmosis issues, and for mine, that's because of the intensity they're tackling.
Yeah, for sure. One of our big KPIs is a certain amount of distance in a certain speed band of running, and we're still maintaining that despite sort of having decreased quarter time. So I think not being out there for so long creates a better environment to get high speed running. So I think that, yeah, maybe a reason leading towards it.
We're going to see you go head to head with Paddy Cripps this weekend?
Yeah, possibly. Look, I dare say I'll be on him at one stage. We like to have sort of a team mentality as a midfield group. If we come up against a opponent as classy as Paddy Cripps, we sort of like to go at as a team. So whoever gets him at one particular stoppage may have the job for a couple of stoppages, and then it swaps over. I think we've got a lot of confidence in each other to get anyone done, whoever it is. So I'm sure it'll be a team job.
You've sung the song more than anybody this year, Ollie, not you personally, but your club. When we get through this COVID-19 drama that we're having at the present time, and you've got the capacity to go back to singing the song with your arms around each other, do you think you'll do that, or do you think that the clapping has become so successful and so popular that you might just maintain the COVID-19 style?
I don't mind what we're doing at the moment. Yeah, I'm loving the clapping. And, yep. We've even got some guys who talk themselves up as dancers and say they're going to get in and start dancing in the middle.
I'd like to see that.
Once we see that, that'll be pretty impressive. But, yeah, no, I'm loving the clapping at the moment.
Yeah, what about Kenny? He didn't have many dance moves in the middle on Sunday.
Nah, he didn't have many at all, but he was very excited to win that game, the one that got him the AFL Life membership. So it was good to get him in the middle and see that emotion.
Ollie, thanks for coming on. Good luck against the Blues and good luck against Cripps.
No worries, guys. A pleasure.
Ollie Wines there. All for Giant Bikes. Power your journey with a Giant e-bike. He was pretty impressive, Ollie.
Yeah, Ollie's a good operator. I like Ollie Wines. I'm not surprised they made him captain. I was surprised they dropped him from the captaincy.
I was also surprised.
There was always those sort of rumours and speculation about whether or not he was trying to get to Carlton or not. Scoop, I think you were first on the job with that particular story.
Do you expect him to finish his career at Port Adelaide? I know it's hard because things change so quickly, but...
Oh, I wouldn't say finish. I don't know. I mean, if they win a flag, he may think, well, okay, I've done what I need to do. Bit. But he may also say, well, we've won a flag. I love this club. I might stay. It's hard to know. Personal circumstances. Has he married a girl from Adelaide? I don't know where he sits with any of that, so I wouldn't like to speculate.
This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes and Kia, Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. We head to Tassie next, down south, to talk to our man, our chief, Brent Costello.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Wilson Homes, they believe in great design, so you love being home now for the Australian-made logo, and make sure it is Aussie. We can join in the fair state of Tasmania, the number one voice of sport in Tasmania. You'll hear him right throughout this network and also Win Tasmania. I speak of Brent Costello, the Chief, joins us. Welcome, Chief.
Good to be back with you, boys. How are you going?
I've been going well. I'd be a hell of a lot better if I could get out of Victoria when I felt like it. We're in lockdown. You guys must feel as if you're just in the wonderful free state of Tasmania like you do each and every other day of your life.
Yeah, nothing to complain about too much down here. We just need the borders to reopen a bit now and get some stuff happening, I think. But, yeah, no cases here for a while, so we're very fortunate.
How's the weather been down here? We're getting fantastic weather here. It's almost like autumn still. But, you know, you can't go anywhere to take advantage of it at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Very cold. I went and did a few interviews today out on the road, and I was on some grass at one stage, and my feet nearly froze. But, no real rain or anything as such, just some cold winter weather, as you'd expect.
And you're back at work. You've had a couple of weeks off with a sniffle. Did you manage to get back into the office?
Yeah, returned on Monday, so good to be back after 4 weeks off, I think it was. I had some issues with the appendix, which had to come out, Jared.
Yeah,
but,
dinker.
all sorted now, which is good news.
Have you had the appendix out, Jerry?
No, I haven't had any problems with the appendix.
It's like all everyone, the tonsils. Everyone talks about being keyhole surgery, and it is.
Yeah.
But the build-up's nasty.
Is it?
Like,
because you're in pain.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't know how Brent went, but I had 3 visits to the emergency room before I decided to take it out.
Fair dinkum.
Because they said, I'm not sure if it's your appendix. And
you got your tonsils still?
No, I've had the tonsils out.
What about you, Chief? You got your tonsils?
I've got my tonsils, yeah, but unfortunately I couldn't have the keyhole with the surgery either for the appendix.
So they sliced you over?
Right open. Yeah, which wasn't great fun.
But, you would have been sore and tender for a few weeks, Chief.
Very sore and tender. Very, very sore and tender.
Are you still sore when you cough?
No, that's I'm over that, which is good, but I'll tell you what, the first couple of days I'll be done.
Okay, I won't do any more exploration in that particular area.
He is close to being a doctor, Chief, so no, you're in good hands.
Let's move on to AFL games in Tassie. We can just about wipe them off the map now,
can't
we?
Just about?
Well, they could have a final down there. If Gutsy puts some money on the table,
gone.
Gutsy might get himself a final.
It's over.
I don't know if it is. Gil McLaughlin was adamant today that discussions are still ongoing. Despite everyone going to Queensland, he's still open to games in the Northern Territory and Tassie. So
yeah.
I'm bullish about it still. We just, as I said, need to open the borders and we can go from there. But we expect an announcement on that very soon. So hopefully things can start to move a little bit.
If I'm running the competition here, like Gil McLaughlin is, I'm saying no to no one. Because you just do not know where this thing is going, how it's heading. We may be just thankful for Tasmania to open up so we can play the grand final somewhere.
Exactly. They're going to need some extra grounds, aren't they? What is that, 3 or 2 or 3? Gabba obviously in Metricon and one in northern Queensland, if I'm right.
Yep, there's one up at Cairns.
Probably need a few more than that.
There's one in Townsville. A couple of pretty good games up there. A couple of pretty good grounds up there that we play JLT games at, but you might as well, if you're going to go that far north, you might as well go to Northern Territory or to Alice Springs.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so how it all works out, it's going to be interesting, but it's a big time in footy, isn't it? We're never going to see this again, really, are we? So,
well, who knows? You say that, but no one's got no one's come up with a vaccine yet. And
no, true.
We've still got, I'm not sure what we do next year if we haven't got a vaccine.
Yeah, and all the stories that you read, I mean, I know there's been, I think, 2 that have had human trials, but these things take time, Jared.
They do. What about the Hobart Hurricanes? The BBL fixture was released today. How have you seen it?
Yeah, it looks pretty good from a Hurricanes perspective. We just hope it stays that way and it doesn't get changed and we can get the crowds in, et cetera. But they've been pushing the Christmas Eve fixture. That's what the Hurricanes have wanted to make their own. And we've had it for the last couple of years and they've got that again, which is great. The Melbourne Stars will come down here and play that as they did last year. So that's really good news. They've got the New Year's Eve fixture too in Adelaide, the Hurricanes. So a couple of big ones, which is good. The women's draw is interesting. We only got 2 home games as opposed to what we had this year, probably 6, 7 or 8, I think it was. So they're obviously having a couple here and then creating a bit of a hub in Sydney for all the women's teams during the tournament, the middle of the tournament. So that's a little disappointing that we only see 2 women's matches here, but Belle Reve will host 5 games and Launceston Gtas Stadium 2 in the men's competition. So looking forward to the Big Bash. It'll be good.
I'm not sure if you spent much time on your knees reading the Bible when you were a youngster, Chief, but there is a quote or a line in the Bible that says, if you feast every day, you never feast at all. And my gut feeling is that the organisers of the BBL have not read that line in the Bible, and they want us to feast every day, and they're going to kill the bloody competition because it's on too long again. It's been extended even further this year.
Well, I'm not sure if you saw Chris Lynn's tweet today, and he tweeted the golden goose has been cooked again.
Oh, there you go.
It didn't take him long to pull that off Twitter, so I reckon he got a tap on the shoulder to say, get rid of that, please. But, exactly. It's starting early December now. December 4, I think, is the Hurricanes' first game. And going to early Feb. So
that's going to start before the AFL Grand Final gets completed.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. That's true. It must be a nightmare. We talk about the AFL fixture at the moment, but trying to work in international cricket with domestic cricket, et cetera, it must be a tough gig, mustn't it?
Well, it must be. Maybe they're thinking that it's not going to be much international cricket, so we might as well load up on the BBL.
That is true, and wouldn't that be nice to see some of the Aussie cricketers back playing that as well?
Well, that'll make it better. What's going to happen there, Scoop? Do you think we're going to be playing BBL instead of long-form cricket?
I think it's a chance. Yeah. No doubt. Have Chief, have you rigged the name contest down there at the NBL team to make sure you get your idea across the line? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head what was his idea.
It was Breeze, wasn't it? Or Freeze? Freeze.
What was
Breeze
the one that
or Freeze? Pretty much the same thing down there.
Richo's one last week was terrible. That was the Wilderness.
The Wilderness,
that was,
yeah.
That, we threw that out pretty quickly. What was the one that you were leaning towards?
Well, I liked my first choice would be Island State Warriors.
That's right.
Come on, get original. Come on, Chief. That's crap.
Oh,
come on, mate. If you can't do better than that, go back to hospital and get your tonsils out. Have a good think about it.
You're the first one that said that, Jared. Everyone else I've mentioned it to has liked it.
Oh, but, we've got everybody. How many Warriors do you want? You've got the New Zealand Warriors. You've got the Golden State Warriors. You've got a magnificent state that's got so many natural positives going for it. Surely you can pluck one off and promote your state at the same time.
What do you like? Give me your number one choice then.
Well, I haven't been given that challenge. I'll give it to you next week if you like. But I like the Breeze. I like the Freeze.
I like the Freeze.
I liked the Wilderness. I didn't even mind Richo's Wilderness.
Nah, Wilderness was awful. Wilderness is worse than Island Warriors.
No, it's not.
I like the Tassie Freezers.
Freezers good. Yeah.
The Freezers, Jared. We'll go down and play the Freezers.
Well, there'll be plenty of sponsors out there looking to jump on board.
Yeah, well, you could have the sponsors that...
Harvey Norman to get on board. Freezers everywhere.
Yeah, and then you could also go the other way and get the heating companies in.
Yeah, fix your freeze.
If you're freezing, we'll fix it for you.
Okay, I'll have to give it some thought, Chief, and we'll come back with a name for you next week. Great to have you on board.
Thanks, Chief.
Thanks, fellas.
Brent Costello again for Australian Made. Find authentic Aussie made, Aussie grown products online. Visit australianmade.com.au.
He's become big.
Oh, no, he's huge down there.
He's massive.
He's going to take his own talkback topic at some stage between now and the end of the year.
Didn't you say that? Who's your man down there on the wharf?
Chesty.
Chesty.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that Chesty told you that the Chief become even bigger? Since
Chesty's
his weekly spot.
He's all about
the Chief.
The Chief. He actually thinks he's got ahead of himself, but that's all right.
Chesty and the Chief. We're going to get a good podcast.
We're going to have to get Chesty and the Chief on just to discuss whether or not the Freeze, because Chesty's a mad sailboarder.
A sailboarder?
You know, like the jumpers, the ones that jump, the kiteboarders.
Oh, the kiteboarders.
Massive, yeah. He jumps out of his boat midway through a fish on the west coast of Tasmania, goes for a kiteboard.
Really?
Yeah, gets 30, 40 feet in the air. Has it all on his...
30, 40 feet in the air.
Indeed,
off his
kiteboard.
Oh,
I've got a photo here. I'll show it to you.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. It's dangerous stuff from Chesty.
Yeah.
But he is the world's best abalone diver down there in Tasmania.
I suppose the water is so cold that it's an extra incentive
to keep out.
To not fall in.
But the breeze is so freeze. anyway, maybe we'll just go with Tassie cold. and we cannot spruik here in Melbourne because our weather's no better than theirs. Brent Costello.
We've had a lovely winter. We've had a gorgeous winter.
Yeah, no, we have a cracking winter, but they've had the same. They've had sunny days, cold mornings. Mm. Had a swim today. We did a K. It was beautiful.
Did a K.
Clearest bay has been for a long time.
Can't believe you're going in the water.
We're taking a break. We'll come back with more Sports Day after this. This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Scoop, we can't cross borders. The best we can do is cross codes. And let's join Gary Belch and Scott Sattler for Tyre Power Best Buys on big brand sales on now. And I've got to say, my sneaking suspicion, I get a lot of mail from the Bondi Spy, and he tells me that there's a lot of people lined up for the Bulldogs job.
Mm.
They've ticked off Laurie Daly. He doesn't want it. My understanding is Scotty Sattler is number two on the list.
Well, wouldn't it have to be Badge, given his experience under Wayne Bennett?
Well, that's what I would have thought, but my understanding is that they've honed in on Scotty Sattler, given his great work on the radio airways. Welcome to you, boys. Any truth in this rumour, Scotty?
Negative.
Oh, you're going to give us your just happy sitting there next to Badge. That's the same thing that Laurie Daly said.
Usually they say it's less stress, but some days it is more stressful sitting next to Badge than it is in a rugby
league
club.
He's not half a mil a year here, so yeah, why would I
take a pay cut?
Salary. Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable stuff. It is amazing, though, that in this era of COVID restrictions and cut budgets, the coaches in the NRL seem to be getting sacked more than when we had plenty of cash.
It's a tough time, but the Bulldogs are right down the bottom of the table. They've only won one. It was just heading that way, unfortunately. He inherited a bit of a basket case, the playing group, and they're working hard to try it, but they just haven't got the talent. So anyway,
they so why sack the coach?
Well, that's it. And you know, they say we'll be patient. We know you need to rebuild. You've got a few years, but the pressure starts to mount. It's that kind of game. It's just like the AFL. If you're not winning games, fans, media, the club, the board, everyone starts asking questions and putting pressure on. And so he walked as he was about to be sacked, and they'll just, I don't know. The answer is to try to get some better players. But maybe they can find.
So who are they
coach.
Appeasing by sacking Dean Pay?
Everyone, the media. Probably
right. Well, they've got $3 million. They've got $3 million to spend on players next year. So they're feeling as though that if they come to some sort of resolution now, they can put a coach in as soon as possible and give some clarity to the possible marquee players that come there in 2022, 2021, I should say.
Yeah, what sort of reputation did he have, Dean Pace? Because it seems to me they're sacking him because he can't drag players into the place.
Well, he was a rookie coach. He'd coached under Ricky Stewart at Melbourne as an assistant, a real hard man, a real gentleman of the game as well. So, but he didn't have a great resume as a coach, and unfortunately that can work against you.
Didn't hurt Anthony Seibold. He's stuck it out. The Broncos have weathered the storm, and he's finally got himself a win.
Well, we don't know if it has hurt him. Just
okay.
yet.
Okay.
Well, it's still a fair way to go.
They played the Bulldogs last week. Funnily enough, he gave the keys to the training to the players, and their captain's run, which as we all know, is the last run of the before your game. That was optional. That was optional to players.
Four players turned up.
Serious?
Yeah, they were their best players on the No, they didn't. No, but it was. Apparently they made it optional. Hey, look, I know you guys have been talking about this all night, but can you fill us in on what's going on there? Are all the Victorian clubs moving to Queensland? And they won't be playing any more games in Melbourne
and
this year.
And how long?
Yeah, that's right. Well, at least for the next 10 weeks, according to Gillon McLachlan, who spoke today. And, guys...
We're up to round six. It's only 17 games in the season.
Yeah, so it's basically the entire season and potentially finals as well. And it may be more than the 10 clubs, Jared, because depending on what New South Wales do with their borders, or should I say what Queensland do with their New South Wales borders, the two Sydney clubs may have to move up there as well.
Indeed, and I noticed Peter Vlandys has already written to Anastasia begging for a special treatment for your players that are living in hot zones. So I think the good thing is that all the good hotels have been booked up. So when Peter Vlandys is trying to shift his mob up there, they're going to have to go for the four-star hotels.
In the Airbnbs.
In the motels. Airbnbs.
Motels, mostly.
What about venues?
The drive-ins.
What about the venues, guys? There's going to be enough venues for all the sides in Queensland.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the biggest issues. And I think one of the underrated issues, and Jared and I spoke about this earlier in the show, is, you know, all the families want to go up as well.
Yep.
So they're allowing 100 for each club, as in that's total, with the players and the staff. And the AFL will pay for that up to 100. Now, every person that you go over 100, the AFL will go 50-50 with you. So it's going to start costing the clubs some coin. But you've got not only players, Jared, but you've got footy bosses and you've got assistant coaches that have got 3-4 kids.
Yep.
Their wives and partners aren't. Some of them are struggling. Some of them want to come up, but they don't want to do the 2 weeks
the
of quarantine.
The wives and partners.
Both. You can bring both. Tents on the beach at Surfers Paradise. We can see it. That's what it'll be.
How are you feeling up there yourselves? I mean, obviously there's a couple of little, not dangerous spikes, but worrying spikes.
We're very safe. Worrying. We're very safe.
I hope you are. We're facing, stage four lockdown.
Stage four, yeah.
Out to get the paper.
Yeah, and you know, we are worried, aren't we? We're all worried that it's going to start to spread further. I don't know. Everyone's been bagging Victoria, but therefore the grace of God go on. We could all be in that situation. Hey, something you need to clear up for us. Our producer Woogie is a Swans fan. He's not a paid up fan, but he's not a member.
He's a plastic fan.
He needs something. You need something from you guys to tell him that they are not a lost cause after one of. He said he went to the game last week up in Queensland and said it was the worst game he's ever seen against Richmond.
Well, let us pass you on to one of the greatest Swans of all time, the Brownlow medalist,
yes.
Jared Healy.
Give him something, Jared.
There's nothing to give. I'm sorry. I went to the cupboard. It is bare. We're shutting down. This is a good season to be poor because it's only going to be short. But let me just say it wasn't the worst game of football I've ever seen, but it was
close
on the podium.
It was in the podium.
Absolutely on the podium. And unfortunately, we've got good games of footy at the moment, but if you get the two coaches who want to defend rather than attack, we've got some crap that we're serving up at the present time. And my apologies to Woogie Boogie that he had to sit through what was really, it wasn't a game of AFL football, it was something bordering on a bastardised copy of soccer, league, union, basketball, AFL, a little bit of AFL thrown in. No, it was rubbish, I've got to say, and let's just hope we don't see too much more of it.
So was Damien Hardwick, was he correct in his appraisal of the game?
I reckon it was about 50-50. If you took it at stoppages, well, Hardwick was to blame, and if you took it as Horse not really wanting to venture forward all that quickly, then he was to blame. But this is going to be a stinker of a year for the Swans. If they're any further than second last, I'd be surprised. They've got some bad injuries. Going to have to suck it up at the present time. And the way back won't be as quick as some people think, in my view.
Mm. Now, I want to ask you as well. If you put a bump on when you were playing, Jared, like Dylan Shield did on Curtis Taylor,
yep.
Would you have got a couple of weeks, or would you have got handshakes?
He would have been applauded. He would have been chair off the field.
No, it wasn't as vigilant as it is now, and it's much better now, I've got to say. But the shoulder charge, as you guys calls it, is as dangerous as punching a bloke in the head. We got concussions. We had another one. A guy got 3 weeks. That guy's if Sean, what's Sean's name from Fremantle Scoop?
Sean Darcy.
Sean Darcy's head had been slightly lower. He's likely to have ended in a wheelchair. So the shoulder charge, you guys have got it much more correct than us. Took us a long time to get onto this, and it was a bad decision by him, and he's copped his right whack, and he's one of the fairest players in the game.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that brings us to our Jared Healy smoothest mover. Mm. Sats, who is it?
On Sports Day, it's time for the Jared Healy, the smoothest mover of the week.
Yeah, guys, Christian Petrarca. Now, he is, educate us. Is he the player that the D's fans have been desperately hoping for?
He's been one of the sole improvers, hasn't he, for the Demons, Jerry?
Indeed, he may well have been the only bloke who's got better over the last 18 months at Melbourne. He's a hell of a talent, this guy, and he got him across the line. Wasn't a brilliant player all night, but he is nearly the most talented player on that list, and he's coming through. He's got himself super fit. He's a midfield ball that can play in the forward line. Now, you picked up a good one here for a smooth mover, and hopefully if Christian continues his good form, well, the Demons may get themselves back in the eight. But let's...
He's also a good tackler. Jared,
he's a good tackler, but he's nowhere near as good as this particular one.
And now, the most prestigious award in the history of Sports Day. It's time to present the Sattler.
He's only got Sattler in cover. Bernard Sattler, a great race Sattler, a try-saving tackle that could turn the match. That's the greatest covering tackle I've seen in 20 years of broadcasting in a pressure match like this.
The big Fijian winger, well, he has put a massive hit against Manly on the weekend, and he gets the award this week. Is he a worthy winner, boys?
Are you not going to try and pronounce his name?
Come on, Jared
Healy. Come on.
Ravalawa.
Good work. Beautiful. Great work. Yeah, he was outstanding. He didn't come up with one. He came up with about two or three.
Oh, at least three. He waxed. The Fijians are notoriously big hitters in our game, and he's one of the best.
Well, here it is, the big revved up Rev.
Oh, awkward looking tackle. They get expansive here. Here comes Ravalawa again. A man on a mission. The Fijian is nailing them. Oh, Ravalawa! What a night defensively for the Fijian. He wasn't letting Parker get that one on the outside.
Oh, the high-revving Ravalawa. That's a ripper of a name.
Is that Britton Speed calling that?
That's Speedy. It was Speedy. Of course,
Jared is...
He's a jack of all trades.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He calls a game of footy, real footy, that being AFL, and you can't even tell the difference that he's a... Anyway, good on Speedy.
What do you reckon he does best, league, soccer, or AFL?
Soccer.
Yeah, he's a very good soccer caller.
Big bash this year, we'll find out.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he doing the big bash?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Give us your big upset for this weekend, boys. Go and check the fixture out.
I'd like to say the Raiders over the Roosters, but both sides are down on talent. So
there's a grand final rematch, but 13 players out from last year's grand final. I think the biggest upset will be the Titans over the Storm.
Down go the Storm again.
And in the AFL,
Scoop.
I got a sneaking suspicion. I don't like tipping.
Just get on with it, mate.
Oh, I've got a sneaking suspicion Adelaide will win their first game.
They're not going to win a game all year.
They're playing the Saints, who are very good.
On Monday night.
But they're playing it at the Adelaide Oval, Jared. back for the first time since they got belted by Port. They're going to win one at some stage. And I just got a sneaking suspicion that the Crows might find a win.
I'll tell you what I'll do, boys. This is how big this tip is from Scoop. I'm going to buy him a slab of Urban Alley Ale.
Two slabs.
And if I lose, he can buy me just one can. That's how big a...
24 to 1.
24 to 1 is the betting there. Have a great weekend, boys.
Thank you, boys. Gentlemen.
Crossing codes there with our great friends up north. Not great friends anymore. They won't even have us over. This has been Sports Day for Wilson Homes. You can chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. It's all. It's no risk, high reward, that one.
Scoop.
If the Saints win, no one's going to remember it.
That's right.
And if the Crows win,
you'll be big noting all
week.
I'll
shout it from the air on the rooftops.
Indeed you will be. Fair enough too.
Oh, let's hope the Crows get up. Who do you like, just before we go, as any sort of roughie?
Well, let
North,
me just get the...
North Melbourne to beat the Tigers.
Okay,
maybe.
I'll run through my tips.
Yep.
Catch to beat Collingwood.
I've gone Collingwood, yep.
Essendon to beat the Bulldogs.
I've gone the Dogs.
Lions to beat Giants.
Yep, I've gone Lions.
And plunging the Giants into a almighty bit of crisis time.
Pit of pain.
Suns to flog the Swans.
Yes, agreed.
If there's going to be an upset,
yeah, I thought
North
are
a chance, but yep. I'm going to stick with the Tigers.
Me too.
Oh, this is a very interesting
one. Please, Port Adelaide will beat Carlton.
Okay, I'll leave that with you. I think Carlton are a chance to beat Port Adelaide.
Oh, come on.
Demons to beat the Hawks.
I've gone with Hawthorn with no confidence.
Dockers to get close to beating the Eagles.
Okay.
Don't be surprised if there's the upset.
But Eagles.
But Eagles. And the Saints will flog Adelaide. On the back of a rat and bake.
Well, if it's like me backing a horse, Jared. If anything can stop a train, it's me. So if I go near something...
Can you back out one more time before you go out?
They are... No, seriously. They are no chance of beating Port.
Okay, no chance. I've heard no chance. Can they get within three goals?
No. Nah.
Can they get within five?
Yes.
Okay. So anything better than three goals, Scoop's under the pump on Monday.
Have fun watching all the footy over the weekend, Jared. I'll see you on Monday.
Good work.